So there's a word from the Lord this morning. Just want to lift one verse to you as we stand to our feet. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It reads as thus: Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Let me read that again. God, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, stay in the light. Stay in the light. You may be seated. Stay in the light. Stay in the light. Don't leave the light. Stay in the light. I know that this is the month of October, and so Halloween is upon us in just a few weeks, and I know there are those that here might say, listen, I don't do that stuff. I don't celebrate Halloween. That's a pagan holiday. I don't mess with it at all. There may be some here today that listen, you celebrate this secular holiday. Maybe you do it to the hilt. I mean, you put up the orange and black lights, you put the scary creatures in the yard and all of that stuff, you celebrate it to the hilt. And maybe there's some folk here that maybe you're somewhere in between the whole matter, that you believe that maybe a good alternative to Halloween is a good idea. And so rather than just dressing up as a witch or a goblin, you might dress up as an angel or a shepherd or something like that. Listen. I'm not here to argue that point, but I want to make notice of something. You ever notice it's during this month that a whole bunch of these horror movies come out? And maybe there's some folk in here today, listen, that you are fans of the horror movies. I have to admit, I'm really not that much of a fan of the horror movies. Listen, my head is messed up enough. My imagination is messed up. When I'm looking at the news, y'all, and seeing the atrocities in the world, I'm already messed up in my head. My imagination is already running wild. So I don't need my mind to run wild when I'm, y'all, looking at these chainsaw killers, these flesh-eating zombies, these aliens, and well, these cinematics now, they make stuff look real. You got folk bending over backwards and walking on their feet, on their hands. I don't like that. I don't do that. I like to sleep at night. But the truth is, listen now, I do like every now and again, the old vampire movies. Some of y'all remember Dracula. If y'all don't remember Dracula, maybe you remember the Count from Sesame Street, so. But I remember those vampire movies and these fictitious, blood-sucking creatures of the undead, and how they would grab their victims and bite the neck and turn them into a vampire. And so y'all remember the one thing about those movies, the one real weapon against a vampire is that it was the stake was one of them. The stake was one of them, but the big one, you had to, the cross was another one. She's going to get them all over here. But another one is you had to stay in the light. That they were creatures of the night. And so as long as you stayed in the light, you were good to go. You were safe. Yeah, y'all watch some of those movies. Some of those crazy victims, they're going to go out and get the vampire. Why are they going to attack the vampire? I have no idea. But they go out with their torch, we're going to get the vampire. We're going to slay them. They go out with the flashlight, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night, the flashlight goes out. The torch goes out. The screen goes black and all you hear are screams, y'all. It's just screams. Got him. That's going to be another creature of the night. Here's the reality. The Dracula vampires aren't real. They're fictitious characters. But I tell you what, the devil's real. I tell you what, sin is real. And living in a dark and fallen world, it is real. And I believe that as we elevate God's word this morning, without the light of God's word, our lives are like a horror movie in the making. that there's so much in this world that's out to get us and to take us down, that we have to cling to God and we have to cling to his word. Because if not, some will get you. That we need the light of God's word in a dark world. So Psalm 119 is, it's an acrostic poem, and it's dedicated to honoring, uplifting, magnifying the word of God. That it has 22 sections. Each section is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. It's the longest chapter, they say, in the Bible. And although we don't know the author of Psalm 119, its content is very familiar. And it supports the fact that we as the people of God, we as the children of God, ought to elevate, lift up, and magnify and cherish the word of God. The word of God is righteous. The word of God is trustworthy. The word of God is faithful. The word of God is unchanging. The word of God is pure. And yes, the word of God is light. So let me ask you this morning, how much do you cherish? How much do you uphold? How much do you as a child of God love the word of God? I want y'all to listen to just a few of the jewels that we find in Psalm 119. Verse 2 says this, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God, when I want to do wrong, I'm so full of your word that you make me do right. How about this? My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions of gold and silver. And I love this one, 103, how sweet your words taste to me. They're sweeter than a honey from the honeycomb. Oh, how we love and we cherish and we uplift and we magnify the word of God. But today we're dealing with this one verse. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That we have to adhere to the laws, the precepts, the statutes of God Almighty. That we have to stay true to God's word. That in the dark world that we live in right now, we have to cling to the truth of God's holy word. No matter what's going on in your life. No matter how bad it may be, no matter how dark it may be, I want to encourage you to hold on to the word of God, that we must stay in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Are you staying in God's word? Are you holding on to God's word? Are you trusting in God's word? That God will work it out. Yes, he will work it out, but it means too that we're holding on to the word of God and watching God and his promises and watch God work out what he works out the way he works it out. The context of 1 John 1, it says walk. Walk simply means to consistently live a life and a lifestyle that pleases God. It starts at the moment of salvation. At the moment you're saved because you believe that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God, you're saved at that point. And so you walk it out at that point. You walk it out. You live it out. You live the lifestyle. You talk the talk and you walk the walk. It's this consistent walk in the life of Christ that enables us to enjoy this Christian life that we have today. I believe that when we walk in the light, the conflict, backbiting, unloving attitudes, unloving behaviors will disappear as we walk and we stay in the light. So I want to praise God for the many believers that pick up their Bibles on a regular basis, that pick up the Word of God, and you study it to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, but to rightly divide his word of truth. That you understand that God's word is your light and it is your life. Praise God for the many believers that pick up their Bibles on a regular basis, that you know how to self-feed. That you don't come to the house of God and you have whatever the preacher gives you, that's all you got for the week. No, you need to go home and read your Bible yourself. So I'm not trying to hit anybody, but I'm not trying to miss you either. If the only time you pick up your Bible is when you come to church, that's not enough. If the only time you turn to your electronic devices and you study the Word of God is on Sunday morning, that's not enough. As Jesus' people, we dare not ignore the Word of God. That there are some that hear it, but they don't obey it. There are some that simply say, I just don't have time to read the Bible. We got time to do a whole lot of other stuff, y'all. So why not take some time and read the Word of God? If you just gave it 10 or 15 minutes a day, you can cover a couple of chapters in that much time. And so I'm encouraging you, if you're not in the Word of God, it's time to get into the Word of God. That the Word of God is food for our souls. It's like a great recipe. You can't add to it or take away from it. Because the minute you add to it or take away from it, you mess it up. And there's some folk, y'all, that do that with the Word of God. We add to it or we try to take away from it. It ceases to be the truth of God's Word. Anybody ever heard of the Jefferson Bible? The Thomas Jefferson Bible. And so he took the Bible because he did not believe in the supernatural or miracles. He takes the Gospels and he begins to pull stuff out of it. All of the miracles that Jesus did, that Thomas Jefferson carefully took them out of the text. The fact that he rose from the dead, he took, hey, that's miraculous. That's the supernatural. He took it from the text. You cannot separate the miracles of God from the Word of God. The minute you separate the miracles of God from the Word, it ceases to be the truth in the totality of God's Word. What am I saying to us today? I want to encourage you to stay in the light of God's Word. I believe the more we eat it, the more we feast upon it, the more we stay upon it, that the Word really becomes that lamp to our feet. And the light to our pathway. And so how can this verse help us today as we continue to cherish God's Word? I'm glad you want to know that there are many properties of light, and I just want to talk about a few of them, and then we're going to get on out of here. What I want to talk about is this, that if it's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, that it has to be a guiding light, a guiding light. That the Word is a bright light. It provides direction and guidance. This talk about a lamp historically would have been this clay pot that a traveler would carry. It would have a single wick on it. And so as they traversed through the dangerous terrain and the darkness, they would carry the lamp with them to show them their way, to give them direction and guidance. In the same way, we need the Word of God as we journey through this life. It helps to keep us from stumbling off our course and to go astray. Y'all, when I was in England years ago in the military, not England, in Egypt, I had a tour, y'all, in the desert. It was a place called Wadi Kena. It was out in the middle of nowhere. And y'all, and so we stayed in what was called hooches. It's an underground dwelling. We stayed in these underground dwellings, y'all, and didn't have a bathroom. Walk with me for a minute. So in the middle of the night, when you gotta go. You had to walk, now think of the length of this building, about 100 feet, 150 feet, to get out of the hooch, come up out of the ground, walk across the desert, and go to the bathroom. That's where the bathroom was. Now let me remind you, it's the middle of the night, 100-some degrees in the day, 45, 50 degrees at night, so it's cold now. Your body is acclimated to 100-some degrees. It's cold at night. And so you're putting on your robe or whatever, you gotta go. There are scorpions in the desert of Egypt, the size of your hand. There are desert snakes, y'all, that creep and crawl through the sand. There are desert rats. They cute, y'all. They look like little hamsters, but they're infectious, y'all. They have disease. So walk with me now. It's the middle of the night. And when you gotta go, you gotta go. So what do? You take your flashlight. You take your flashlight with you so you can see your feet, so that you can see your way, so you can get to where you need to go. Either that or you just go to the back of the hooch, ain't nobody watching, and you go where you, because you ain't walking 150 feet. Just Pastor, that was too much. That's TMI, too much information. But the Word of God, it's a guiding light, y'all. It gives us good direction and guidance in life.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 31 says this. It speaks of what happens when God's people really listen to him. It says, Isaiah 30, 31, that God speaks. He says, your ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. That God's word is the bright light that keeps us on the right path. Can y'all imagine flying on an evening flight, a night flight? You're on the airplane, and you're coming into your destination. You're coming into the airport. And the pilot comes across the speaker and says, listen, y'all, we reached our final destination. We're about to make our descent. We're going to land in just a few minutes. But he said, but I got to tell you something. The runway lights don't work. But don't worry about a thing. Listen, I know this airport like the back of my hand. And so sit down and relax and just enjoy yourself. I don't think a whole lot of us would be relaxing. We'd be looking out the window into the darkness trying to help the pilot. Hey, to the left, to the whole. Wait. Think about this. So which one of us would get into an automobile if we have a friend to say, listen, let's ride. Let's go somewhere. It's the middle of the night. But he tells you, listen, before you get in the car, I want to let you know this, that the headlights don't work on the car. Now, some of us have been there and done that. Yeah, some of us have been there and done that. But how many would get into the automobile and ride with your friend in the middle of the night where there are no lights? Listen, the word is it's a flashlight for our feet. It guides our path. So don't fall off and crash. I need you to get into the word of God for yourself. Let me ask you again. Are you in the word of God for yourself? That we have to apply the word of God to our life. It's a guiding light. Ice Cube said it well. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. That you got to be in the word of God. The word of God, it's a guiding light, y'all. But it's also an illuminating light. It illuminates. It enlightens. The word is the right light that gives you true insight and wisdom and knowledge in your life as you walk circumspectly in this world. And God knows we need to be enlightened. But not enlightened just by anybody and anything. To be enlightened by the word of God, to get wisdom from the word of God. Paul told his protege Timothy this, all scripture is given by inspiration from God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the child of God, the man of God, the person may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Listen, good work comes from knowing the word of God. Good work and knowing the word of God go hand in hand. Yeah. I believe, listen, we can do work, but it becomes good work when we stay in the word of God. When we don't stay in the word of God, it becomes our work. It becomes empire building. It becomes us and no more. But when we stay in the word of God, the truth of God's word, our work becomes good because we're following the dictates of God Almighty. Verse 130 of Psalm says this, the teaching of your word gives light so even the simple can understand it. It was St. Jerome that said this, that, listen, the scriptures are shallow enough for a baby to come and drink within it. And it's deep enough that theologians, that they can go as deep as they want to, they'll never reach the bottom of it. The word of God is for the simple. Now, I didn't say you were dumb, I didn't say stupid, but for the simple at heart. For those that will receive the word of God, it's not that difficult. The main things are the plain things. And God wants you to know the word of God. He wants you to know the main things and live by them. But that means that we have to be into the word of God. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a lamp, our pathway. So we have to live in this world, y'all. But we need the light. A whole lot of people in this world today are calling themselves the light, that a whole bunch of people believe in being on your own spiritual journey, that you do you and I do me, that we miss the true and living God because people aren't in the word of God, that there's more relativism, situational ethics, objectivism, and all of this stuff in the world today. There are many voices in this world today, but the one voice that we must listen to is the voice of God. And by and large, how do you listen to the voice of God? By his by his word. And my concern for a lot of folk today with all these voices and all these opinions and thoughts and ideas, all of this humanism, that people will miss God and they'll live a life that's grievous and painful and a life in ruin. And let me throw this in for you for free today, Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is powerful. Y'all know it's quick and powerful. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged. The word of God will cut you. In the reality, sometimes we have to be cut, y'all, to be made better. Think about a surgeon, and they're going to perform surgery. They take a sharp instrument, a sharp knife called a scalpel, and they have to cut through the flesh to get to the affected part of the body so they can fix it and make it better. The word of God is just like it. That God is the master surgeon. And God, I think that's something that we don't want to read the word. It hurts, y'all. That God will cut you, but God is cutting you to cure you and to make you better. But it presupposes you're in the word of God. Oh, how we must love the word of God. Cherish the word of God. Hold on to the word of God. We can trust the word of God to accomplish whatever God called it and calls it to accomplish it when we obey God. The word is a guiding light, y'all. It gives us direction. It's an illuminating light. It gives us knowledge and wisdom and insight that we cannot get from NBC and CNN and CBS and Fox News and from the latest guru that's out there today. That we need the word of God. That it's illuminating light, guiding light. Finally, y'all, the word of God is just another attribute. It's a comforting light. That I believe that the word of God is a night light that is able to bring peace and comfort in the darkest moments of our lives. There's nobody here today that I know it's daylight outside, but you know what it's like to be daylight outside but still be going through night. That you know what it's like to experience a midnight in your life. That your marriage is failing and it's midnight. That the school shootings are still taking place all over Ireland. It's midnight. That we're dealing with natural disasters even as we speak, and folks have lost their lives and their homes and all their work. It's midnight, y'all. That there are wars that are going on and rumors of war that are going. It's midnight. That in this country, there's also so much political unrest and chaos and confusion, y'all. In our own country, y'all, it's midnight. But I wonder if there's anybody in the house today. Out of all of the swirl of the noise, and your head is on swivel because you're looking over here and over here and over there and over there. You're trying to figure some things out. How many of us can say, listen, that I need a word from the Lord? Don't fool me now. I need a word from God. It was King Zedekiah. That sought after Jeremiah. When Zedekiah figured out that the Babylonians were coming against him to destroy them, that he didn't ask for any magicians, he didn't ask for any false prophets. He sent for Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I need you to tell me this. Is there a word from the Lord? Let me tell you again, the times in which we live, we need a word from the Lord. We need a word from our creator and the captain of our souls, because he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. How do we keep our mind stayed on the Lord? By his word. I believe there's some witnesses here today that can testify that the word of God kept you, that it kept you in your midnight hour. That the promises of God kept you when no one else or no other thing could keep you. That you stayed in the word of God. You held on to the word of God. You cherished the word of God. And he kept you. You know, it's interesting that many behavioral scientists today, they're still trying to figure out why so many people have innate fears. Innate fears are fears that are unlearned, that people have fear of snakes. I'm about to teach you that. You just don't like snakes. Because maybe you're from the country and you're used to snakes and they don't bother you. A lot of them have fear of spiders. It's, It's innate. You see a spider, you start running. No matter how small the spider is, you don't like spiders. Then we have fears of heights, we have fears of falling, we have fears of pain. It's innate. And then there is the fear, y'all, the fear of darkness. I believe this with all my heart, that God made us to live in the light. And we don't like, most of us admit, we don't like the darkness. Granddaughter Aria is here today. From time to time, Aria wanted to have a sleepover with Mimi and Pop-Pop. And so when she comes over for a sleepover with Mimi and Pop-Pop, we want to take her to her room and go back to our room, you hear this pitter-patter of feet, like, we're going to go night-night. I'm not going night-night in this room. I'm going night-night in your room, in your bed. I don't want to go there. And y'all, these are some long nights, y'all, because, Lord have mercy, you get a knee in your side, you know, you get slapped in the face, and she wake up all refreshed. You're like, Lord, that was a long night. That was a long night. But our precious granddaughter has gotten to the point, y'all, where she will sleep in her own room. And the one major request said, Mimi and Pop-Pop, I need you to leave the light on. I have to stay in the light if I'm going to rest in Africa. That's what she's saying. I need the light. And she doesn't have to ask Mimi and Pop-Pop, just like she didn't have to ask her mother and her father. Y'all ought to see the room at their house. It looks like a runway in their yard. That's Mimi and Pop-Pop's house right there. That's Mimi and Pop-Pop. You ought to see their house, y'all. That they got lights everywhere, but that's how she gets comfort and peace. How much more did God say, I'm going to leave the light on for you. I'm going to leave the light on to give you comfort and peace and joy. I'm going to leave the light on for you so you won't be afraid. I'm going to leave the light on of my word. And so we have the light of God's word to keep us and to comfort us. But the question remains, do we stay in the light? What I love about God is not only does he give us the light of his word, the comfort and peace of his word, not only is he the light of the word, but he's God. And the Bible lets me know that God is light. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. And in him was the light of men, the life of men, and the light of men. And the light shines into the darkness. And the word says that the darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot consume the light. But how many people are walking in darkness right now? That you can't see your way. You can't figure it out. You cannot understand it. Because maybe you're trying to do it apart from the word of God, the light of the gospel, the light of the good news, the light of power, the light of joy, the light of God. Because in his word, in his light, there's salvation. There's the light of peace. There's the light of joy. There's the light of hope. There's the light of wisdom. There's the light of knowledge. It's found in the word of God. And like this unknown psalmist, we ought to cherish the word of God, uplift the word of God, magnify the word of God, hold on to the word of God, cherish the word of God, read the word of God, study the word of God, meditate on the word of God. That we have to stay in the light. Because when we don't stay in the light, something's going to get you. And the church said, pray with me now. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your powerful word, your comforting word, your guiding word, your illuminating word, your word of wisdom, your word of knowledge, the word that comes from you. You are the source of your word. God, thank you for your word today. We cherish your word. God, help us as your children, Lord God, to be like babes and desire your word like milk, to feast upon your word, to drink your word, to feast upon your word, oh God, Help us to live by your word, by your power, and by your spirit. Help us, oh God, to stay in your word. Because whenever we don't, we realize that between the devil and sin and our own temptations, something's bound to get us. Thank you, God, that we belong to you. Thank you for the saving power of your word. For you say in your word that you so loved us that you gave your only son who gave his life for us. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's your word. It starts with salvation. And from there we walk it out. We live out a life that pleases you through your word. We obey your word. We trust your word. We desire your word. Speak to a heart right now, I pray, oh God. For that person that may not know you in the pardon of their sin, speak, Lord God, by your spirit and through your word today. Let them know that you are real, that you are alive, that you are the true and the living God, and you desire a relationship with them, a relationship with us. And God, we turn from our sins and we turn to you. Your word says all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Your word says there's none good, no, not one. Your word says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, but the gift, but the gift, but the gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the gift. So God, based upon these words, which is your word, I pray that you would draw someone by your spirit in this moment. Let them know that they need a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. For those, Lord God, that aren't connected to a local assembly somewhere, draw them by your spirit. If not to this ministry or this church, some church somewhere, oh God, where people can serve you, be held accountable, fellowship, pray with other believers. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, praise God for his word. And so I am going to challenge you, too. I'm going to challenge y'all. Listen, so not a judgy statement, but I just want you to hear me. If today you know that, hey, listen, I don't mess with my Bible too often. Maybe I might move it on the table to clean the dust from under it. But for real, though, if you're that person, listen, this hit me. It's real simple to fix. When you get home today, pick it up. Take your chapter or two, 15 minutes. Can you do this? I'm challenging you. 15 minutes a day. Start in the book of John. I say John because it talks about the life of Jesus Christ from beginning to end, the book of John. Take 15 minutes a day, and I dare you, I challenge you to get into the Word of God. I challenge you to join one of our Bible studies on Tuesday night. Minister Janice Brown at 7 p.m. We have a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. I challenge you and I encourage you to get into the Word of God and to stay in the Word of God, to stay in the light, because there's too much going on in this world that will get you, and you need to be strengthened by, hold on to the Word of God. So I pray that you accept this challenge today. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. The next thing that we're going to do, y'all, did we do the invitation? We ain't done the invitation yet, have we? If by chance there's someone in the house today, perhaps you're not connected with a local assembly somewhere, perhaps you heard this word today and you're saying, listen, I want to know more about this Jesus. I want to be in relationship with him, this God of the word, this Savior of the word. I want to be in relationship with him. You can do that today. Listen, our new member ministry advisors are in room number one across the hallway. Our ushers are standing in the back of the room with their hands extended. If you're here today and perhaps you want to connect with this fellowship, connect with the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get up from your seat right now. They will lead you to room number one. Just get up from where you are right now. Our ushers will lead you. Room number one, where you'll see a new member ministry advisor. If you're here today and when you're listening in online and you're saying, listen, I'm not in the house today, but I want to connect with this fellowship, then I feel like God is moving on my heart.
I want to know more about this Jesus that you preach of. I want to know more about this word. You can do that today. There is a new member ministry form that you can fill out online. I promise you, fill that form out, and one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you this week. So online ministry, fill out the form. In the house today, ushers are standing to follow them to room number one. To follow them today.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.